This is Tim Doyle, lead pastor of Restoration Church. Welcome to our weekly podcast featuring encouraging messages from our Sunday morning get-togethers in historic downtown St. Joseph. For more info, visit restorationstj.com.
If you turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter 35, we're going to wrap up a series we've been on called I Can't Even, looking at the dramatic life of Jacob. It's been a lot of fun to see the ups and the downs, and we've learned some lessons along the way. While you're turning, let me tell you about a couple things going on. Tonight, 6:30, we have our twice-monthly time of worship and prayer, which is a lot more exciting than it sounds. We've got to find a new way to describe it, because it is amazing to come into this place with this music team. Didn't you enjoy worship today? And just more of that tonight. And then, really, it's more of a time for you and the Lord to hang out together, and we're going to assault heaven and say, we want heaven on earth. Jesus taught us to pray that way, right? Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We need heaven in St. Joe. How about that? As I was driving down 229 this morning, I'm like, Lord, bring heaven to this city. You know, speaking prosperity, speaking safety over our city. That's what we do. So come back tonight, 6:30. Love to have you a part of that. This weekend is our guys' getaway. We're leaving Friday for the amazing Log Lodge in Chillicothe, Missouri. Can anything good come from Chillicothe? Yeah, there's one thing. There's this great 6,000 square foot log lodge in the middle of 50 acres of timber. And Vicky, are you from Chillicothe? So there's one more thing that good came from Chillicothe right there. Is that right? Is that what you're saying? Okay, I agree with that. Yes, ma'am. Yes. You say what now? You moved here from Chillicothe? Well, very good. So there's another good thing from Chillicothe right there. That's good. Well, we're going to go back to Chillicothe with all of our guys. So this Friday, if you can come, love to have you. It's just not even 24 hours. We're just spending the night. But you can sign up today at the information desk. Come and join us so we can have a good time together as the dudes. It'll be awesome. Jacob's an awesome dude. Man, I've gotten so much out of his story the last few weeks. And you know, when I preach, I'm preaching to me. You know that, right? I'm just kind of telling you what speaks to me. And I'm hoping that some of it sticks on you too. Anybody got anything out of this series besides me? Did you take some nuggets home to live on? Yeah, me too. I'm hoping today is going to be the biggest slice of the pie. I saved the best for last, okay? So Jacob is going to he's not ending his life, but we're going to depart ways from Jacob for a while. But I want you to hear this final episode that I think will really speak to us today. Genesis 35, starting in verse 16. Then they moved on. Say moved on. That's going to be a real important phrase right there for you today. Moved on from Bethel. Remember, Bethel was the place where he encountered, you know, the angels and face to face with God. And he was so overwhelmed. The first time he's there, he's negotiating a deal because that's what he is. He's a swindler. And the second time he's there, he's just quiet and worshiping, sacrificing to God, and God's talking to him, and he's finally listening. While they were still some distance from Ephrath, Rachel began to give birth and had a great difficulty. Remember that Rachel was the one that couldn't have children? Remember that? And she had one son, and she prayed for another. Well, now we see in the story that she was able to conceive again. She was about to give birth, but she was having great difficulty. Verse 17, as she was giving birth through great difficulty in childbirth, the midwife said to her, "Don't despair, you have another son." And as she breathed her last, whoa, so that tells you right there something has happened, for she was dying. She named her son Ben-Oni, but his father named him Benjamin. So Rachel died and was buried on the way to Ephrath, that is Bethlehem. Over her tomb, Jacob set up a pillar, and to this day, that pillar marks Rachel's tomb. Man, there's so much in these few verses today. How about we pray and ask the Lord to unpack it for us? Jesus, thank you so much for your word today that's living and active, and there's so much, so many layers here. Holy Spirit, speak through me this morning the words that we need to hear. We need to hear you, your voice today, God. Show us through the life of Jacob, Father, through this situation, how we can receive life from you that can help us move on. Help us process the things that happen in our lives that aren't so pleasant, to see you work and move through them. We ask for it, God, in Jesus' name. And if you want that, just say amen. 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 See, Jacob is heading back home. He'd done this sacrifice to God and had this amazing spiritual encounter. And And Rachel's pregnant. Wow, that's a good thing, right? You know, that's fun. That is the joy, the delight of his life. And Rachel's desire, she'd been praying for another child, and God granted her that gift. And after sacrificing to the Lord, after stop negotiating and starting listening to God, and everything looks good, right? There was great joy in the camp. Rachel was about to give birth, but it says she was having some trouble. In those days, childbirth was dangerous. There wasn't the medical facilities and technologies available like there are today. And Rachel, like so many other women, had difficulty. And without the intervention of today's technology, she struggled to the point where she lost her life giving birth. How many of you know that sometimes great difficulty comes before great joy? Sometimes it takes great difficulty, great challenges. And it's a package deal. Have you noticed that? You don't get to pick and choose one or the other. Oftentimes you get both, and you get to process that in your life. And so I just want you to write some things in your notes this morning to help you think about these thoughts this week. First of all, great things come at great cost. How many of you know if you go to a store, you want to buy something nice, you're going to pay for it? It's kind of like that in life. Remember when I was on my way to the Middle East, I was a broadcaster by background, and I was working in the Middle East. Before I went, I had this desire to go and serve and be a blessing to the Jewish people, to the nation of Israel that I love. And I had a man of God tell me, there's a price to pay for that, before I left, which wasn't very encouraging. But by golly, he was right. There was a price to pay. Great things are awesome. But God seems to do his greatest work through great difficulty. Oftentimes pain, oftentimes sorrow is associated. And sometimes we ask God for things, we have no idea what that's going to cost us. I've worked with some wonderful people in my Christian career, you know, working in broadcasting and then in ministry. Had a chance to be around some really awesome people. And I've heard people say, man, I really wished I had a ministry like so-and-so. You know, I really wish I was like Mama Renee. They really wish that. And here's what I want you to know. People like Renee have paid a great price to be the woman she is today, that only she knows. The process is an important part of the journey. It's not just about the destination. You can wish you could have this great, wonderful thing, but I'm telling you, you look at somebody who's got greatness, and I guarantee you they've experienced some pain and some sorrow. That seems to be the crucible that the Holy Spirit uses to make us who we are. You can't short-circuit the process. You can't abort what God is doing in your life. Rachel prayed for this child for so long, little did she know that the very thing she prayed for would cost her life. But it's not all bad. God always has a plan. How many of you know that? He has a plan, no matter what. Now, the scripture says he works all things together for good. It doesn't say all things are good, right? Anybody besides me had things happen to you that aren't good? But has God always been faithful through those things? Absolutely. You know, today as I talk to you about this, I don't want you to feel like I am diminishing the pain or the sorrow of anything that you've experienced or you're experiencing today. But I want to lift your eyes a little higher than the situation and help you to see that oftentimes through great sorrow, God can do something amazing and eternal in your life. See, Benoni, the name Benoni, Ben means son of. So what do you think Oni means? Son of sorrow. In her last breath, Rachel names this child that she prayed for son of sorrow. Bummer of a name, right? It's like I heard Pastor Stephen talk about. He said, I don't ask people what they're going to name their new babies anymore, because I never want them to see the reaction on my face, because people choose the most creative names. He said, for instance, one time he asked him what the child's name was, and it's spelled L-A-A. How would you pronounce that name? Lala. La, la, ah, la, Ladasha. Michaela's right. Ladasha. Yeah, she's a teacher, so she sees this, right? So you learn not to ask what people are naming their child because you don't want to go, oh, get you in trouble. During her sorrow, her pain, Rachel names this child she prayed for, son of my sorrow. How'd you like to have that going through life? About like LaDasha, right? Come on. It's like, yeah. But can you blame her? No. Because that's oftentimes what happens. We associate, right? We label, we identify moments in life that are painful and forever carry that label. And I'm telling you today that there's something for us here in this story of Jacob. Here's the interesting thing that Benoni, Hebrew is an interesting language because it's an ancient language. There aren't that many nouns and verbs. So they get creative, and oftentimes the same thing can mean two different things. So Benoni can also be translated son of strength. Isn't that funny? Now, we don't know for sure, but from the context of the scripture, we're pretty sure that she meant the former. But isn't it interesting that oftentimes great sorrow can give birth to great strength? That's something worth writing down right there. Oftentimes your greatest sorrow can bring your greatest strength. And something, you know, in this situation, in this story, something is dying and something is being given birth. And that's the way it often is in life. Something's dying while something's being raised up. It's a reality oftentimes that we have to put to death some things if we want the new to come. Anybody here for baptisms a while ago? So that's what was happening in the water. We're putting to death the old man so that the new man, they both can't live together. It's impossible. You can try, but you're not really living the full life that Jesus had for you. That's why baptism is such a perfect symbol and a powerful moment in a person's life, a decision that's demonstrated in front of others. Something is dying while something else is being born. It's giving life. I mean, I don't like it, but oftentimes times of sorrow in my life, the greatest challenges drive me deeper into the heart of God. And I bring from that lessons, and I'm changed, that mark me forever. That's just the way life works. And God is good to take those most awful situations, as bad as they are, and say, I'm big enough to work good through this if you'll trust me, if you'll let me. God doesn't cause all things. That's the big question. People, how could a loving God, anybody ever heard that question? How could a loving God allow? I said, well, he doesn't. We did that. We chose that when we walked away from God. Okay? It happened back in the garden a long time ago. We've been living under that cloud ever since. God had a whole different design. God only has your good in mind. But see, because we don't have our perspective of God healed, we don't believe that. Jacob has lived long enough to see God move in some ways, even when he was the deceiver, supplanter. That's what his name means, right? Deceiver, supplanter. But God changed his name to what? Israel, which means what? Means strength with God. Means he's a man now that has a different identity because of what he's been through. And people will tell you this. I'll say, oh, you know, how you doing today? Oh, it's all good. Anybody heard that? It's all good. Liar. It's never all good, right? It might be going good in your family, but it's lousy at work, or vice versa, or something's going on in your life that you wish you could change. Am I the only one? Always like that. It's never all good. But God can always work good from whatever it is that I'm going through. Because that's his intent. The secret, though, is to not wait until it's all good before you celebrate God's goodness. You celebrate God's goodness right now in the midst of whatever you're going through. And listen, this isn't some mumbo jumbo, name it, claim it, spooky-ooky, magical thing I'm trying to do here. I'm telling you, it's bedrock truth that no matter what you're going through, God is always good. Always. No matter what you see around you, the truth is God is good. This world may not be good, but God is good. All the time, right? It's true, but I'm not, again, diminishing the fact that sometimes life's not very pleasant, not fun. But he doesn't change. So we're not doing some mystical mind game here. We're just looking to a higher truth. When Krista and I lost our first child, it wasn't something where we could just snap our fingers and magically get out of that. We had to walk through that. But we realized, and my opinion is that the highest level of faith is when things aren't all good, but you still choose to believe and hold on to the fact that God is good. No matter what I see, God is good. That's, to me, ultimate faith. Not when it's all going the way you want it to. And trust me, I want it to always go the way I want it to. That's what I want, right? It's what we want. And God, you know, blows us away and it's all awesome, but sometimes it's not so awesome. And he's still the same God. If we can remember that, Jacob did. And he wanted to honor Rachel. He's conflicted. Think about this. This is the guy who worked 14 years for this girl, right? He loves her, man. He's head over heels. They were going to grow old together. And he lost her in the middle of what should have been a celebration. Man, that's a bummer. That's a tragedy. So he's conflicted. He's loved for Rachel, and he wants to honor her desire. And she named this son Benoni, but he's like, I don't think so. I don't think I can let that happen. Oftentimes we name things, we identify things based on how we're feeling at the moment, and how many of you know how we feel isn't always the truth. Sometimes we need to have some perspective change, some adjustment in our view. And Jacob had the presence of mind to say, I don't think I want this son of mine to be called son of sorrow. All his life. How'd you like to be called son of sorrow? Sounds kind of negative, kind of a downer, right? Jacob's like, I don't think so. See, Jacob refused to name the child that was born out of sorrow according to the sorrow that gave the child birth. There was something bigger going on, and he recognized it. But honestly, I don't think he could have if he hadn't been through some of the things he'd been through. Today's sorrows can become tomorrow's strength. And oftentimes, greatest strength is produced through the greatest sorrows. I don't like that, but that seems to be the way life works. And Jacob refused to identify the destiny of this child by one moment in the child's history. Are you listening to me today? Don't allow one moment in your history to define your destiny. God has something greater in store than the momentary sorrow of your life. Yeah, that is something to praise God for, Carolyn. You're absolutely right. See, in the ancient cultures, the fathers got the naming rights of the kids. Sorry, moms. You know, I mean, your part is so valuable. But in this culture, fathers had naming rights. Now, in my household, I don't know about yours, but in my home, the woman who gave birth picks the names. Everybody say, that's the way it is, But here's the deal. I had to sign off on that. I got to sign off on that name. See, Rachel names, and everybody say praise the Lord, especially Ruby, because I wanted to name her Dorothy. I thought Dot would be a cute nickname. That's about like LaDasha, right? I mean, come on. If you're named Dorothy, I love you. It's a wonderful name. It's a wonderful name. But Dot, I don't think so. Jacob had enough presence of mind to say, I don't think son of my sorrow is what my boy wants to be known by the rest of his life. Only the father gets the final say-so. Can I ask you this? Are you wearing a label that somebody else gave you that your father doesn't agree with? Only your father has the right to sign off on your label, on your name, on your identity. Sometimes I give myself labels and names that he doesn't agree with. Guess who wins? He does. Father has to sign off on the final name. You're so much better off wearing the name that your father gives you than the one that you give you or someone else has put on you. Come on, I'm preaching to someone today. There are labels and names and identities that we were never meant to carry. God doesn't see you that way. I loved it in the baptism this morning, because I got to identify people with who they really are. Son, daughter of God. My sister, my brother in Christ. See, oftentimes we get crosswise with people and we want to put different labels on them, right? Come on now. Don't be telling me you don't do that. We try to put labels and names on people that God didn't give them. We have to do what Jacob did. Move on. Say, move on. Sometimes it's time to move on. Can't help what happened, but you can move on. You don't have to wear that label, son of my sorrow. Jacob knew exactly what to name Benjamin. Guess what Benjamin means? So Ben-Oni means son of sorrow. Guess what Ben-Jamin means? You're not going to probably get it at first because, you know, we're not familiar with these concepts, but it's son of my right hand. Son of my right hand. Wish it was something cooler, but son of my right hand. But in that culture, right hand represented something significant. And Jacob knew that, because what did he try to do? Remember when he tried to steal his brother Esau's blessing? Guess which hand the father bestows the blessing with? There you go. So he chose to rename something from sorrow to blessing. That's good preaching right there. Much better than you gave me back credit for. Hand of blessing. What others saw as sorrow, I choose to see as blessing. Now listen, again, disclaimer, asterisk, I'm not saying it was fun or pleasant or that I would choose that. I'm saying God is big enough and good enough to take even that which brought sorrow to me and birth great strength and blessing in my life through it. I'm just telling you, folks, I've lived this. I know what's true. You're growing up in an alcoholic and abusive home without a dad. I could tell you stories that, you know, you just say yuck. But I'm telling you, that yuck today has given me an opportunity to minister strength and blessing and courage around the world, literally. When I lived in the Middle East, praise God. In the Middle East, that story got spread to not only that part of the world, but even as far west as the U.S. in Oklahoma, where I happen to be this week. Producing the world's most listened to radio program for families. How did that happen? From the broken mess I came out of. Remember the story of Rachel and Leah last week? God can work with messes, can't he? He can work with messes. Aren't you glad? Amen. That's right. Just in the past 2 months, I've had a chance to take that testimony and share it in the Dominican Republic, in the frozen waters of Browning, Montana, with the First Nations people, with a conference in Kansas City that included a guy from the Congo. You know, it's just like, and then of course, you know, my ministry here at Restoration. It's just what the enemy meant to squash me and destroy me, God has used for good, and my sorrow has become my strength. Yes, someone say, thank you, Lord. Not because if I got it all together, because I've got a great God is what I've got. Who names me, not according to what people say or what even I say about me, but only he has the naming rights.
That's right.
And he can use a messed up thing like me, then anybody's fair game. But we have to choose. Jacob had to choose to rename, to allow God to take the sorrow and turn it to a blessing. Life has labeled us in so many ways that our Heavenly Father does not agree with. And we have to make choices. We have to decide whose label we're going to wear. He's like, Jacob's like, Rachel, man, I love you, babe. You're awesome. But I don't think so. Not today. Benoni is, in another Hebrew word, baloney. I'm not going to buy into the baloney. He's not a son of sorrow. He's a son of blessing. He's a son of my right hand. He's a son we prayed for. He's going to have a destiny. He's one of the 12 tribes of Israel, right? born of that mess with Leah and Rachel. Come on. God wasn't put off by the mess. I can call whatever I'm facing now what it is. You ever heard that phrase? Well, I just call it like it is. Just call it like I see it. And well, you can do that and live with that for the rest of your life, or you can call it what God calls it. An opportunity for him to move and shape and mold you and bring strength out of sorrow. Whatever disappointment, whatever frustration, whatever, you know, wrong thing that's been done to you, you can wear that label if you choose and call it for what it is. It was wrong. It was bad. No one taking that away from you. But what are you going to call it? Are you going to let your past define your future? Are you going to let one moment in time determine your destiny? If you do, I think you're going to miss out on what God wants to call you. He has something much greater to call you. He has a much greater vision and view of your life. Today we need some healing to come in our vision of who we are to him so that we know we have a better future than whatever label somebody put on us someplace along the road. See, I've had a chance to stand before a judge and have my birth certificate changed and to take the name of my biological father. So I've literally had a name change on my birth certificate. I think today the Lord wants to change some names on some birth certificates. I think he wants to change some identities, some shifting to take place, some transformation that only he can do. It's not name it, claim it, wacky, you know, Wednesday. It's not that. It is the reality of when we are in Christ, we become new creations. Old things are what? Passed away, put behind us, like that in the waters of baptism out there. Literally, we're cut off from our past and we're new. We get the name our Father chose for us. It's interesting that God gives us naming rights. He does. Think about Adam in Genesis. Who got to name the animals? Adam did. See, God created him, but he let Adam call him what he wanted to. Isn't that crazy? You get to name the critters that cross your path. And not all of them are friendly. Some of them bite, right? But you get to decide if you're going to live in that place where whatever happened to you is going to lock you into an identity that is not in agreement with what your Father says about you. You can't change what happened, but you can change where that thing takes you if you'll allow strength to be born of sorrow. You can't let the pain define you from what happens next. This is good today. Man, I just sense that the Lord is setting some people free, giving you perspective, allowing you to realize you can live in regret and call it like it is, or you can call it what you want. And what you really want is what your Father says about you and your destiny and future. And God can use. Every time I counsel with someone going through a difficult time, I always am just aware God's going to use this in their life to help people. That's, you know, whatever I have to give away to help people is just what God's worked in me. And a lot of it's come through pain. But I wouldn't have it any other way, because then I wouldn't have conviction, and I wouldn't really have the platform to speak to you today. If Krista and I hadn't lost a child, we wouldn't have the right to speak into the life of families who lose children, because we kind of know what that's like. We kind of know how that feels. And we know that no matter how bad the situation is, God can and will use it together for good, not just for you, but for those around you. Sometimes you got to get a Benoni before you get to a Benjamin, right? Sometimes you got to go through a little sorrow, a little strength. And if someone's hurt you, someone's treated you wrong, it's okay to name that what it is. But at some point, you have to move on. You have to move on. And when Chris and I lost our daughter, a man came into the room the very next morning. Said, well, it's time to move on. Like, well, give me about 30 seconds to process first, okay? So I'm not telling you tomorrow, got to get over this. I'm telling you at some point. So we don't know how long it was between the time that Rachel died and Israel, Jacob, renamed the child Benjamin. We don't know how long that was. But at some point, He made the decision and he moved on, right? At some point. So I'm not at all trying to short circuit. I know grief, there's a work that grief is to do in you, because there's a time for weeping. There is a time for weeping, but there's also a time for rejoicing. Weeping endures through the night, but what comes in the morning? Yes, Jesus, bring joy to the house today. Amen. If we don't move on to joy, we set up camp in weeping. And that's not where God wanted you to set up house. He's got more for you than that. I love how this story wraps up where we're going to end today, Genesis 35, verse 21. Three little words that make all the difference. Let's read it together. Watch the screens. Ready? Here we go. Israel moved on. Say it again. Israel moved on. Doesn't say Jacob moved on. Calling him by his new name. God is my strength. Moved on. Love that. He set up a pillar. He blessed Benjamin. And then he moved on. Jacob had some experience at going through some challenging times, some losses, a broken heart, reaping what he had sown in many ways. He was going to live the rest of his life without the one that he so wanted to spend the rest with. And yet he understood there's something bigger at work here, and then there's a time for weeping, and then there's a time to move on. Don't label your life with what you've lost. That's for me where the fine line comes between telling my story and letting my testimony be a blessing versus staying in my woundedness and just wanting sympathy for what happened to me. Preaching now. We want attention. Sometimes we think we get it through sympathy. I'm telling you, there comes a time when you lay that thing down. And you don't define your future by the pain of your past. And you choose to move on. That's really powerful stuff. Kristen, I have plenty of opportunities to put this principle into practice, both personally as well as in ministry. Trust me, we've been through some painful things. Even some things recently. Even what gave birth to this church was painful. But there comes a time when you have to move on. You have to choose how you're going to live. You're going to let that thing of the past continue to label you, or are you going to transform that thing into something that says, God is with me and will bring strength from this? And I believe this, if we had not responded the way we had, and I'm not bringing attention to us, I'm just saying thank God for the opportunity to rename some things, we would have been disqualified from usefulness in ministry if we hadn't responded in a certain way. And there's still temptations, man, you know, to dredge up the old stuff. It's sort of like this morning when I was praying during first service, I saw this like steamer trunk, you know, that travels around the world and collects labels. Sometimes, man, you got to clean those babies off. You got to clean all those labels. I don't care where you've been. I want to know where you're going. That's good preaching right there, by the way. I don't care where you've been. I want to know where you're going.
That's right.
Jacob had practice renaming things. Remember the first place we saw him? A place called Luz or Luz. We called it Loserville. Remember that? Loserville became what? Bethel, the house of God. When his eyes were opened and he saw what was really going on. Another time in his life when he was being pressed in by his brother Esau, and he just thought his bacon was fried, and the Lord opened his eyes and he saw God was with him, and he renamed the place Mahanaim, or encampment of God. He had an experience where he realized God is with me in the middle of this tough situation. After wrestling with God, he renamed that place Peniel, meaning the face of God. I've seen God face to face, because he was the one who had his own name changed, right? From supplanter, deceiver, to triumphant with God. And I just got to tell you personally, I feel so humbled to be here with y'all and to do what we're doing and to see God work. I don't have an answer for it, except that God is not put off by messes and he'll use anybody who's available. This week I had a really remarkable opportunity to go to Oklahoma and be with Rabbi Kurt Lander. You've heard me talk about Rabbi Kurt. Went to House of David in Grove and stood in the waters of baptism. Hold on, listen for just a second, guys. This is significant because I just went down there to be a participant. I went down there to be sit in the congregation and just receive on Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, you know, which is a significant, the most holy day in the on the Jewish calendar. How many of you know we're not Jewish, but we have Jewish roots? And we can learn a lot from our Jewish roots of our faith. The Day of Atonement is a day every year annually where the entire community of faith comes together, immerse in the waters of the mikvah, which Jesus did three times a year. That's what he was doing when John the Baptist baptized him. You know, baptism isn't a one-time thing. How many of you want to be renewed continually? You can go in the water anytime you want to, baby. And it's like Art did this morning and say, it's time for a reset. Man, that was a good word. It's a good word. So I just go there just to experience the House of David and their feast of, you know, Yom Kippur. And Rabbi says, Pastor Tim, come here. Calls me up into the water with him. I was with he. That's Rabbi Kurt in the front and his wife Christy on the right. And behind them are another couple that was with us in the waters in Browning, Montana, when we were in the 32 and a half degree. It hadn't quite solidified around our legs yet. It was that cold, though. But we were there in the waters together with Jew and First Nations people, Blackfeet Nation, and then, of course, the Gentiles, us Gentile folk. And God did something amazing, binding us together in a relational covenant that said that we're for you and we want to move forward together. And God did something amazing. And so he asked me to step in the water with him. And I was, it's like blown away. And so I stood there and watched what God did. And the next thing that happened was there was another church there in the area that they had gotten crosswise with, that they had bad blood for decades. And each had talked bad about the other. And, you know, the Day of Atonement is a day of reconcile. It's a day when we say, what happened on that tree 2,000 years ago reconciled me with God. How can I not reconcile with my brothers and sisters around me? It's time to move on. Put the past in the past, bury it in the water, and move on. So that's what we did. We got in the water with all these pastors. Go ahead and roll through. We got into the water with these pastors. There's some of Rabbi's staff. Go to the next slide. There we are baptizing a young boy. The reason this is important is because his entire family, mom and dad, were divorced. Now there's stepmom, stepdad, all kinds of other, you know, his, hers, theirs, ours, mine, yours. And they all got in the water together to baptize this young man. Golly, powerful stuff. Keep going. So there's the whole family hanging out in the water. Grandpa's holding my hand there on the left. And there we are with the leadership of House of David and the leadership of this church that they had ought with. And together, next slide, we went under. I mean, do you know what an honor it was for me to just witness, let alone be part of reconciliation happening in the water? And then after that, we got a bunch of other pastors and ministry leaders from the area together. And we all got in the water together. This is all the churches in and around Grove saying, we're together in this. We're not fighting with one another. All the words that we've spoken bad about each other, we're leaving in the water and we're starting fresh. It's a day of atonement. It's a new beginning. Come on, that is powerful stuff. Man. Can I tell you my secret fantasy? Is I want one of those in there where whole families can come in the water together and experience healing. You imagine the pastors of this city together? I mean, we've been walking together for 15 years. We have a relationship. I'm just telling you, there's more. You know this place that once was a swimming pool about 150 years ago? And God wants to turn it into a pool once more. It may not be quite as big as it was one time, but it'd be big enough to get a family in. I'm just telling you guys, there's so much that the Lord is doing right now. There's so much healing that needs to take place. This city is begging. It's desperate. It's crying for a house of healing, a house of reconciliation. But it's going to take a healed people. It's going to take healed hearts, willing to put the past behind and bury that garbage in the water where it belongs. Now, listen, we're not Jewish. We don't have to have a mikvah to do this. It'd be cool, but we don't have to have one of those. Today, though, if you wanted, if the Lord is speaking to you strongly, this time for you to take that to the water, I got it all ready for you right out there. It's all nice and toasty, thanks to God and Jerry Rincher, okay? It was cold last week. He was like, yeah, let's hold off. Well, I think I know why the Lord had us hold off now, because today's message was coming. And I stood in the waters with my rabbi and saw with my own eyes and participated in a demonstration that I believe is needed everywhere. Today is the day. Now is the time. Guess what my next sermon message series is titled? Now is the time. Church, it's time. Now's the time. We must move on. We have to move forward. It's time. Do you agree with that? It's time for you personally to move on. It's time for your family to move on. It's time for us corporately as a church to move on. Come on, we got to leave the past behind. We got to move forward into what God wants to do. Why is that so important? Because if we don't, then there are a whole lot of people who won't know how good God is, how much he loves them. They're going to bear the name that they've been given all their life. And God says, I have something better for them. But only a healed people will be able to bring them into it. God is doing a new thing. I put that scripture up at the Great Awakening Conference, and I said, God is doing a new thing. Will you not perceive it? He says, will you not participate in it? Will you not embrace it? Will you not celebrate it so that God can move in you and through you to all that he has for us together? It's time to rename some things today. It's time for some birth certificates to change this morning. That's what I believe. I don't think that my story is any accident. I think that today, corporately, God wants to do the same thing in us, individually and together as a group. It's time for you. It's time for us to move on, to figuratively, if we need to, or literally, if you want to, immerse in the waters of atonement and let that stuff be cut off. You know what? You can cut off entire family lines that have followed you and chased you for generations. I'm not saying your relatives are bad people. I'm not saying they weren't either, but just saying you can start over today. I'm the first in my line to take this stand in my family. And I already see the blessing, the benefit to my household. And I just say, I want them to go much further than I ever did. I want them to launch from a higher platform. So sometimes it just takes courage for someone to step forward. You know, it's kind of embarrassing to get into the water like that. Rabbi was making fun of his people because he said, yeah, y'all get out and you're all peeling your clothes out of every crack and crevice that shows up when you're soaking wet, right? You know, it's a little embarrassing. But you know what's good sometimes? To be humbled. It's good sometimes. Because as I was saying in the waters, even Jesus went through that process. He went through the mikvah. He went through the immersion. Not just one time. As a believing Jew, he would have immersed 3 times a year. They knew that it was an ongoing thing. How many times does the Lord's mercy get renewed for us? Every day. His mercies are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. Come on, if there's something sticking on you that doesn't belong on you, you need to immerse. You need to get rid of that thing and let it go. I tell you, I feel like an opportunity for us as a house to say, whatever it takes, God, get that thing off of me. I want a different identity than the one I've been carrying around. Listen, we got to cut off the negative words we've been saying about one another and about other churches and about other people. This is why I'm going to preach now. We have to be so careful in this election cycle what we allow the spirit of negativity to get on us. Because guess what? Next thing we do, we start talking about other people that way. We allow our tongue to go crazy and be critical, and the enemy loves that. Because guess what? We're being distracted from what really matters. What really matters is us advancing the kingdom of God. Men and women coming into their identity as sons and daughters of the Most High, that's what matters. And I don't care who sits in the White House on November 9th, Jesus will still be on the throne, in charge, and looking for a church to represent him in this hour. Will we be that church? Will we? It's important who you vote for. I'm not saying it's not. I'm saying keep your focus where it belongs. Seek first the kingdom and his righteousness and then everything else you need. Don't worry about it. It's going to happen. That's why I know we're going to get in that room and then we're going to have a mikvah and it's going to be awesome. Because it's in God's heart. I know that. We get to choose if we participate. And Randy's absolutely right. What would bless me the most is to see you contribute. Not just your money, but your person. Who you are. To be all in. To go under the water fully. Get wet. I saw some of you ladies in the water, and they just would go down to their nose, protecting their hair. Listen, we have hair products today. If you want to get wet, we have hair products. We even have underwear, okay? If you didn't come with a change of clothes and you want to get baptized, I am here. The water's warm. Let's do this, baby. Come on, all right? Now, you don't have to literally get in the water, but I'm inviting you if you want to. If you've never been water baptized or you want to reset, as Brother Al did this morning, stand to your feet with me. This is fun. I love where God's taking us. I absolutely love it. We're supposed to have fun in the house of God. And I've enjoyed this Jacob series because we kind of got to poke fun, you know, at the sister wives and all the crazy stuff. Today wasn't as fun of a message because Rachel died. Doggone it. It's not what... But Benjamin lived. There you go. The promise lived. That's right. Things happen that we didn't intend or we didn't have in our agenda. But God says, don't worry about it. I can handle it. But you've got to choose to let that sorrow be turned into strength. That's your decision. And we'll walk with you through the pain and we'll cry. We'll make you feel bad because you feel bad. You know, Jesus wept too, right? Weeping endures through the night. But man, I want the joy. How about you? That comes in the morning. Let's close our eyes and bow our heads. Jesus, you're so awesome. Even the worship songs we sang today. Matt wrote that second one. It's pretty cool. Through a time of pain and sorrow. Best fruit in your life oftentimes is born in the yuckiest of situations. Today, if you have... Here's what I want you to do. I want you to look at your steam trunk, okay? You got some stickers and some labels on that thing of places you've been or things that have happened or things that have happened to you that you need to get rid of today. I want you to get that, name that thing, the name of that in your mind. And when you have that, I want you to raise your hand. But I want you to raise your right hand. Anybody see a label that needs to come off today? We have a situation that needs to be dealt with. Raise your right hand when you see it. See, the thing is, you can't deal with those things unless you acknowledge them. You can take them home with you if you want to. You can call it what it is, or you can call it what God says. Leave your hand up, please. Right hand. If you see anything in your life that you want to rename today, okay. So I had you raise your right hand because guess what? You're going to take that right hand, the hand of blessing, and you're going to apply it to that situation and apply it to the name of Jesus. I'm praying right now. Every person with a hand raised, every person who's identified a label, Lord, an identity that has confined them or defined them. And we say right now in the name of Jesus, that thing will not define their destiny. God, in the name of Jesus today and through your blood and through just the fact that you, Jesus, were immersed for us and you were hung up on a cross and you bled and died so that that thing doesn't have to define us for the rest of our life. And so we say today in the name of Jesus, we break the connection with that past that has held us back, that has defined us for so long, and we will no longer let other people or our own flesh define who we are. We will only let you, our Maker, our Father God in heaven, define who we are. If you agree with that, shout amen and amen. And let that label go. Let it go and celebrate the God who renames us today. Child of God, son and daughter of the Most High God. Blessed. You have the favor of God on you. Would you just say that with me? Say, I have the favor of God all over me. I can't help myself. Because God, I'm his favorite. That's it, because you're his favorite. Say, I'm his favorite. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm his favorite. Sorry, you're not me, but I'm his favorite. Oh, man, guys, this is such a fun journey. And I sure appreciate you being on the path with me. Because I wouldn't want to do it alone, and I couldn't. Appreciate every piece. When Randy said that earlier, I was thinking about the scripture. Our job is to equip and to train the body of Christ so that every part can do its work. We need every part to do what you were created to do. And together, by the grace of God, and forgiving each other along the way, and continuing to dunk ourselves as many times as we have to. That little boy that was in the picture with me, by the end I said, are you pruny? We were in the water for over 2 hours. Are you pruny? Yeah. So let's get pruny together, shall we? Let's just stay in the water so long we just get pruny and keep that stuff off of us. So we keep a clear identity of who we are in Jesus. Amen. Let's thank God today for what he's done in the house. I love it. I love it.
Thank you so much for listening today. To connect with or support the vision of this pioneering work in historic downtown St. Joseph, visit restorationstj.com, or better yet, come see us in person this Sunday at 9 and 10:45 a.m. We hope to see you soon.